It is very auspicious, therefore, to hear always about Krishna. So Maharaj Parikshit requested Shukadeva Goswami to narrate the activities of Krishna so that he could engage his mind in Krishna. The activities of Krishna are non-different from Krishna himself. As long as one is engaged in hearing such transcendental activities of Krishna, he remains aloof from the conditional life of material existence. The topics of Lord Krishna are so auspicious that they purify the speaker, the hearer, and the inquirer. They are compared to the Ganges waters, which flow from the toe of Lord Krishna. Wherever the Ganges waters go, they purify the land and the person who bathes in them. Similarly, Krishna Katha, or the topics of Krishna, are so pure that wherever they are spoken, the place, the hearer, the inquirer, the speaker, and all concerned become purified. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutaha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Shute Devi Pranamami Hripiye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Pattanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadigara Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. We'd like to welcome all of you for today's morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. Today we are very, very fortunate to enter into the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the first chapter, first verse of the second canto. The last many, many months we have been studying the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and we are making the first step into the second canto with this glorious verse. In this verse, Shukadeva Goswami is talking about Parikshit Maharaj's questions. And he's talking about how whatever is discussed about Krishna is glorious. The questions are glorious. The answers are glorious. Because the subject matter, which is Krishna, is very glorious. So, today we will be discussing a little bit about the glories of Krishna and his holy names, how we are so fortunate to be connected with a process that is so beautiful, so powerful, and so sublime. In different yugas, there are different margas, there are different paths to reach the spiritual world. Vaikuntha, Golok Vrindavan. So, according to which yuga you are born, there is a particular marga or a particular path that is recommended. In the Satya Yuga, it is Dhyana. In the Treta Yuga, it is Yajna. Dwapar Yuga, it is Archana. And in Kali Yuga, it is Nam Sankirtan, chanting the holy names of the Lord. So now, as we know, that because in every Yuga, there is a particular path that is recommended for practicing, perfecting your life, reaching the spiritual world. That path that is recommended is according to the ability of the people of that particular Yuga. The Satya Yuga people had lot of ability and they had lot of time. They lived, you know, minimum 100,000 years, 1 lakh years. So now, if somebody is living 100,000 years, he has a lot of time, isn't it? And therefore, the process that is recommended also is that long. So the process of Dhyana Marga, they would meditate for thousands of years. And that is the way they would, and also the ability that they had was so great. Treta Yuga, the ability decreased a little bit. So they are not able to focus so much and absorb for thousands of years. Because first of all, the age span was lesser. And their ability also was lesser. So the process that I recommended in Treta Yuga was Yajna. And in Dwapar Yuga, the ability became even lesser. The lifespan became even lesser. In Treta Yuga, Dasharatha Maharaja lived for 60,000 years. Ram ruled for 11,000 years. And in Dwapar Yuga, the lifespan decreased even further, and so did the ability. And therefore, the process was Archana. And after that, in Kali Yuga, in which we are, the ability has decreased considerably, and so has the age span. If someone lives 60, 70 years, it is very, very good lifespan, basically. So now, we may wonder, in the previous yugas, the process was very difficult. So, the Lord simplified the process in Kali Yuga. But because the process is so simple, has He changed the destination? Now, if you do dhyana for 60,000 years, your destination is Vaikuntha. You reach the spiritual world. But if you are a Kali Yuga product and you're doing, you know, Nam Sankirtan for a few years, do you reach a place which is few miles away from Vaikuntha, you know, like on the borders of Vaikuntha or outside Vaikuntha, you know? The answer is no. There is no other place than Vaikuntha. There is only one Vaikuntha, basically. So now, if you practice a process that is less complicated, and you reach the same destination, why will someone practice a process that is so complicated? Isn't it? So, here, the Lord does not change the destination. He only changes the path or the marga. There are some things you can't change, or you can't have multiple choices or multiple options. Like, for example, in traditional temples, they give charanamrit, they give water to everybody. So now, if the crowd is large, like even in our temple, when the crowd is large, we have two places where charanamrit is distributed. Why? Distribute the crowd, basically, so that everybody gets easily. But there are some things you can't do too like that. Like in traditional temples, there is a shatari, you know, they put on the crown of the Lord, they put on the head, the lotus feet of the Lord. Now that only one is there. In every temple, you can't have multiple of that. You know, you can't have five shataris going around. You know, doesn't work. So, the idea is that not everything can be replaced. Vaikuntha cannot be replaced. The spiritual world cannot be replaced. Bhagavan cannot be replaced. The Supreme Lord cannot be replaced. So there is only one place, which is the spiritual world, and there is only one destination for all the devotees of the Lord. So the Lord does not dilute Vaikuntha. He does not give an inferior result to a devotee who is practicing a simplified path. Destination is same. So we can be rest assured. So the very difficult path of Krita Yuga, the very, very complicated path Treta Yuga and Dwapar Yuga can be achieved by a very, very simple process in Kali Yuga. So God has simplified the marga But he has not simplified the destination. The destination is exactly the same. So in Kali Yuga, simply by chanting the glorious holy names of the Lord, simply by chanting the glorious holy names of the Lord, you get exactly the same destination that you get in any other path. And therefore, in Kali Yuga, you simply chant the name of Keshava. You simply chant the name of Madhava. You simply chant the name of Govinda. You will achieve perfection of your life. So there are some very important names of the Lord. Like when we offer worship, when we start the process of worship, we chant these 12 names. Keshava, Narayana, Madhava, Govinda, Madhusudana, Trivikrama, Vamana, Sridhara, Rishikesha, Padmanabha, Damodara. So the idea is that when we chant the holy names of the Lord, you are actually progressing towards your destination. Akashat patitam toyam yata gacchati sagarat. That means whatever drops of water fall from the sky, eventually it reaches the ocean only. So it might collect in some puddles over here, and then it might enter in a drain. Then after the drain, it might enter into one big canal, and then eventually it goes into the ocean. So no matter how many drops of water fall from the sky, it eventually reaches the ocean. Similarly, Sarva Deva Namaskaram Keshavam Pratigachati. You offer obeisances to any personality in this world, any devata in this world, ultimately that namaskar, that offering that you give, that dandavat that you offer, is ultimately reaching Keshava only. So you can chant any names of the Lord. And interestingly, you can chant as much time as you have. If you have more time, you can chant more. Like say, for example, today is a Saturday. Somebody might say that I have nothing else to do, so might as well I'll chant more names. Now, the Supreme Lord Krishna is the only master that will accept this, saying that if I have nothing else to do, I will chant your names. You go to any other employer or any other master and tell them, I have nothing else to do. That's it. They will cut your salary, you know. Or they will give you more work to do, isn't it? But Krishna is such a master, you tell him, I have nothing else to do, today I'll chant your names. He'll be very happy with this. So he is such a master that he will be happy with whatever time you give him. Even if you tell your wife or husband one day that I have nothing else to do, so I'll do some household work. Immediately the answer will be, that means if you have nothing else to do, only then you will do some work, you know. So people don't like that you have nothing else to do. But the Lord, he likes the fact that because we have nothing else to do, we are chanting the holy names today. So he is a very kind master. The Supreme Lord has two qualities. One is Bhoga Tattva and second is Raksha Tattva. That means the Lord has the ability to protect his devotees and the Lord has the ability to give great joy and enjoyment to the devotees. So Raksha Tattva means saviorship. So the Supreme Lord protects his devotees. And Bhogya Tattva, Bhogyatvam means sweetness. So the Lord is so sweet, you can enjoy him. Just like you can enjoy a Mysore Pak, or you can enjoy a Gulab Jamun, or you can enjoy a Rasgulla, or you can enjoy Badam Halwa, you know. Similarly, you can enjoy the Lord. The difference is that these halwas and these sweets, they get spoiled after a few days. But the Lord is so sweet and he is eternally existing. He will never get spoiled. So how much ever you want, you can enjoy, and you can enjoy eternally, basically. So Krishna is an eternally sweet person. The great acharyas, they say that the Lord is sweet. When the acharyas say he is sweet, what does it mean? Is he made of milk? Or is he made of honey? Or is he made of sugar? Or is he made of some sugar candy, you know? The devotees, the acharyas say, the Lord is not made of sugar candy, he himself is sugar candy. And there is a very interesting temple in South India. There is a small little town named Sholinger. It's about 2 hours from Kanchipuram, about two and a half hours from Tirupati, 2 hours from Chennai, somewhere in the middle. And Sholinger has a deity of Yoga Narsingha. There are two hills there. There is one big hill on which Narsingdev sits, and there is a small hill on which Hanumanji sits. So the tradition is that you have to go up first to the big hill, worship Narsingdev, then come down and then climb a small hill and worship Hanumanji. And both these hills are not exactly small. The first hill has 1,000 steps. You go up and come down, then again climb 500 steps, go up and come down. This particular deity of Narsingdev, he has a very special name. So, this deity of Narsingdev, he is called as Akkara Kani. Akkara Kani means, the word Akkara means sugar. It refers to sugar. And Kani means fruit. So, have you ever heard of something known as sugar fruit? There are many types of fruits we have heard of, isn't it, in this world. Have you ever heard of sugar fruit? There is nothing called sugar fruit that exists. So the just to try to imagine what a sugar fruit is, I'm just giving you some examples of what you can think of when you hear the word sugar fruit. One thought might be that you take sugar, you make it into a ball that looks like a sweet, and that's called sugar fruit. Or somebody might say that, you know, in many, in jatras and traditional festivals, they have these different animals that are in the form of sugar candy, you know, in the form of a man or in the form of a tiger, all pink, red, these kind of colors, these sugar candies come. Somebody might say, maybe the Lord is like that sugar candy. But the Acharya, there is one particular Acharya who has a very hypothetical understanding of what sugar fruit is. So he does not want to compare the Lord to something that exists in the material world. So he has created an imaginary concept that doesn't exist in the material world of what sugar fruit is. So he says, if you sow the seed of sugar, is there anything called seed of sugar that exists in this world? There is nothing called seed of sugar. But this Acharya is imagining too much, you know. So he's saying, imagine you are sowing the seed of sugar. And from that seed of sugar, a plant grows. And eventually from that plant grows a fruit. That fruit that grows from the seed of sugar is known as Akkara Kani. What a hypothetical, you know, statement, and what a hypothetical imagination, isn't it? So he is saying this. So the Acharya wanted to find some example for the Lord. He couldn't find any example that talks about the Lord's sweetness to a great extent. And therefore he made up an example. He made an example which is non-existent. So the Lord is like that. He is so sweet. And not only the Lord is sweet, he is also our savior. So, Rakshatattva and Bhogatattva. So, Rakshatattva means the Lord is our savior. Bhogatattva means the Lord is our enjoyment. We can enjoy him, basically. The interesting thing is that these two never go hand in hand. They don't go together. So, that means anything that is a rakshaka, anything that is a protector, cannot be sweet, isn't it? Have you seen a protector that is very sweet? And anything that is very sweet cannot be a protector. Like say for example, somebody has a sword or a gun. It is a protector, it is a rakshaka. Is it sweet? Can you hug the sword and sleep at night? You know, can you keep the pistol next to you and sleep at night? Thinking that it is so sweet, the pistol is, you know. It might get triggered and you might die, isn't it? So something that is a rakshaka cannot be a bhogatva. And something that is very sweet, it cannot protect you, isn't it? Have you seen halwa protecting you? If some dog is chasing after you, you know, can sweet rice protect you? Can gulab jamun or laddus protect you? They can't protect you, isn't it? So if some danger is there, sweets cannot help you. And if some something is very sweet, it is not a protector, and something that is a protector, it is not necessarily sweet. But the Lord is both a protector and He is very sweet, basically. So the Lord is, so when we say that He is a savior, what does He save you from? How does He save you, rather? So there are some saviors in this world who save you for a particular cause. Like say if a dog is chasing you, somebody might come and save you from that dog, right? So He has saved you from that particular situation. He is not a permanent protector. He is not a permanent savior. He is a temporary savior for a certain amount of time. But who is a permanent savior? The one who removes all that you hate and gives you all that you like. That person is a permanent savior. There are two words. Ishtam and Anishtam. Ishtam means what I like. And Anishtam means what I hate. The Supreme Lord is someone who removes all Anishtam from our life and who blesses you with all Ishtam. That means the Supreme Lord removes all the obstacles that you don't want and brings you all those things that you want. In this world, the idea of Ishtam and Anishtam keeps changing. It's a constantly changing thing. Today what I like, tomorrow I may not like it. Tomorrow what I like, day after tomorrow I may not like it. Today what I don't like, tomorrow I might like that only. And today what I like, tomorrow I may not like it, isn't it? Things keep changing all the time, isn't it? Like say for example, if someone goes to Badrinath, this is the season of going to Chardham, right? So someone goes to Chardham, the moment you cross Haridwar, Rishikesh, that side, you have to start putting on shawls, you have to start putting on sweaters. And as you reach higher and higher, you will have to add more sweaters, you know, layers. And when you are in Badrinath peak, you will be wearing so many layers that you have never even imagined you can wear it. And you have spent a good time there, had darshan and all, then you come down again towards, you know, lower part of India. As you come towards Delhi, you will remove one, two layers. And as you come further towards Nagpur, Maharashtra, you will start removing many more layers, isn't it? And as you start going further south, if you go to places like Andhra Pradesh and all, you have to remove all your layers. So you will start sweating like anything. So what was Ishtam on top becomes Anishtam below. And what is Anishtam here, it becomes Ishtam somewhere else, isn't it? So this word Ishtam and Anishtam keeps oscillating in our lives, keeps alternating in our lives. There is something we like, there is something that we will not like. So, what is the role of the Lord in our life? He is a savior because we need something which is a permanent Ishtam and something that is a permanent Anishtam. So, an Ishtam is a permanent Ishtam and Anishtam must be a permanent Anishtam. So, what is the permanent Ishtam? The permanent Ishtam is that we want to go to the spiritual world. That is a permanent, you know, thing that we should like. And the permanent Anishtam is that we don't want to be in the material world. That is a permanent Anishtam we should like. So the Supreme Lord is one who clears the permanent Anishtam and who grants the permanent Ishtam. And that person is called as a Rakshaka. That person is a savior. That person is a protector. So He who gives us permanent Ishtam, which is Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, and He who eliminates permanent Anishtam, the material world, that person is your savior. That person is your Rakshaka. So we saw that the Lord is a combination of a Rakshaka and a Bhogyatva. So we find a very, very beautiful story and rather a conversation that is going on in the mind of Hanumanji in the Ramayana. When Hanuman sees Lord Ram for the first time, there is something that happens inside him. Lord Brahma and all the gods, they gave him many benedictions when he was a small child. But of all the benedictions that Hanumanji got, he didn't like any of the benedictions. Because all those were material benedictions. So he asked Brahma for something more deeper. So Brahmaji told him, Brahmaji gave him Brahma Gyan. So now, what is the Brahma Gyan that Brahmaji gave him? He gave him the Brahma Gyan of identifying the Supreme Lord. So Hanumanji said, you have given me Brahma Gyan, but if Brahman comes in front of me, how will I know? And Lord Brahma told him at that point in time, if Brahman comes in front of you, you will automatically know, because every bone in your body will melt. And when Hanumanji comes in front of Lord Ram for the first time, literally he has that experience. The Brahma Gyan that he acquired from Lord Brahma, he was able to actually see it right in front of him. He was able to see the Supreme Lord. And when he saw the Supreme Lord, when he saw Ram, Hanumanji knew he is my savior. What is the meaning of savior? As I said, he takes away what you permanently don't want, anishtam, and he gives you what you permanently want. Hanumanji immediately understood that he is my savior. So all of us, we have heard of these two words, suchi and ruchi, isn't it? Ruchi means something that is tasty. And suchi means something that is very pure. In this world, suchi and ruchi may not always be together. You can go to a restaurant. And when you go to a restaurant, you will find very tasty stuff. But when at the entrance of the kitchen, there is big board over there that says, no one allowed to enter beyond this place. You know why? Because if you go inside it by mistake, you will get shocked. You will stop eating only. Because it's not exactly suchi, you know. So ruchi is there, you are able to get good taste, but it's not exactly pure, isn't it? You go to your house, very pure place, but you eat the food, may not be exactly tasty, you know. Suchi is there, but ruchi may not be there, basically. So, the only person who is very pure and tasty too is the Supreme Lord. He is very, very pure. He is suchi and he is ruchi, both together. So Hanumanji, when he sees Lord Ram, he sees that he is a rakshaka. He is my savior. But he is also so sweet. So Hanumanji first talks about Ram's sweetness. So when Hanumanji has darshan of Lord Ram, Ram was not wearing any ornaments on his body. He was not wearing any jewelry. He was not wearing any silken robes. He was not wearing any kingly attire. Because Ram was dressed as a tapasvi. He was dressed as an ascetic. And because he was dressed as an ascetic, Hanumanji saw Ram in this attire as an ascetic without any ornaments. And one side of his arm was exposed. You know, he was wearing a deer skin like this. So one arm, one shoulder of Lord Ram was exposed. So when Hanumanji saw this attire of Lord Ram, he immediately, spoke a beautiful verse. And one of the words in this verse that Hanumanji calls Lord Ram, he says, Sarva Bhushanartha Bhushanam. He is telling Ram, you are the ornament of ornaments. So Ram, Hanumanji is asking Ram, my dear Ram, you should have been bedecked by so many jewels. Why are you not wearing so many jewels? Why is your shoulder open? So many, many questions that people ask Ram, Ram doesn't answer them. Because some questions are redundant, the question itself is so great, So Hanumanji is asking Ram this question, why are you not bedecked with jewels? Ram doesn't answer. But the Acharya's comment about how Hanumanji has made his own conclusions, and Hanumanji is thinking like this about the sweetness of Ram. So Hanumanji thinks, one of the things in that Hanumanji has in his mind is that he's thinking, probably one reason why Ram is not bedecked with jewels is he has left that one shoulder open So he says, you grant beauty to the ornaments. So usually most people, they expect to become beautiful after wearing ornaments, isn't it? So, you know, people invest so much money in buying gold and diamond necklaces and all that, you know. Whereas, no ornament can beautify Ram. Instead, Ram decorates, it said, Sarva Bhushanartha Bhushanam. That means, Ram decorates the ornaments. It's not that the ornaments decorate him. Ram decorates the ornaments. So that means, if an ornament is offered to the Lord, it is no more called as an ornament. It is not called as an abharanam. Abharanam is what ornaments are, isn't it? But in Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, they don't call an ornament that is offered to the Lord as ornament or abharanam. They call it as Thiru Abharanam. Thiru means the Supreme Lord. And Thiru Abharanam means that ornament which has been put to the Lord. And that ornament becomes respectable. So if you go to a jewelry shop, there are many ornaments in a jewelry shop. But you will not call all those ornaments as Thiru Abharanam. Those ornaments are mundane stuff. But the moment it is offered to the Lord, that ornament becomes more beautiful. And therefore, the word Thiru gets added to that ornament, basically. So by adding an ornament to God, God is not becoming beautiful, the ornament is becoming beautiful. And therefore, when we expect to add beauty with ornaments, you know, I mean, most people, when they wear ornaments, they expect to look more beautiful. But the reality is that no matter how many ornaments you wear, you don't really become beautiful. At best, you can say, the previous one without ornaments was worse, really bad. And with ornaments, it is tolerable, basically. But the Supreme Lord, when He wears the ornaments, the Lord does not become more beautiful with ornaments. In fact, His beauty decreases. His beauty decreases a little bit, the more ornaments and more jewels you put on Him, basically. So therefore, instead of buying ornaments and decorating ourselves, we should buy ornaments and decorate the Lord. So whatever you offer the Lord, it may be a very simple ornament. It may be a very simple, small ornament that you offer the Lord. But that little that you offer the Lord, it looks too good on Him. The ornament looks better on when it is applied to the Lord. And in fact, the Lord blesses the ornament with beauty. Hanumanji is thinking that the second reason why, you know, Ram is not wearing ornaments, you know, why is Ram looking like that, you know. So he's saying that, my dear Lord, if you are not wearing ornaments, if your shoulder is blank, I am very worried. Because there are many people who have evil eyes. That means they put drishti on a person, right, when somebody is very beautiful. So Hanumanji is saying, my dear Lord, you must hide your shoulder. Because what if somebody with evil eye looks at your shoulders and puts an evil eye on you? So one of the ways to hide the Supreme Lord's beauty is to add more clothes to Him and add more ornaments to Him. Decorate Him with more ornaments. That way you reduce the Lord's beauty and that way you protect the Lord from evil eye, basically. So when all the decorations are removed from the Lord, when all the jewels, all the garlands, all the clothes are removed from the Lord, and the Lord is prepared for Abhishek, that's when His beauty is at its peak. That's when the beauty is at its max. Usually, when normal people have bath, nobody wants to look at that person, you know. But when the Lord has a bath, we advertise and we tell the whole world, please come, He's going to have a bath. I mean, has anybody advertised saying that I'm going to have a bath, come, you know? Who cares, you know, people will get scared and run away, isn't it? But when the Lord has a bath, it is advertised massively, saying that Abhishek is there, please come. Thousands of people come to see Him having a bath. And when people have darshan of the Lord having a bath, it is joyful to the heart. It gives a lot of joy to the heart. The reason we have a bath is because we are dirty. And when we have a bath, the dirt goes away. Dirt gets cleansed. But The Lord is not given a bath because he is dirty. The Lord is not offered an abhishek because he is dirty. But when we see the Lord having a bath, the dirt in our eyes goes away. The reason we see the abhishek of the Lord is not because his dirt is going away, but the dirt in our eyes will go away when we see him having a bath. And that is the reason, that is the power that he has, that is the ability that he has. So, Hanumanji is asking, you know, he's again thinking further. He's thinking, what if Mother Kaushalya sees you with an open arm like that? You think Kaushalya will be happy? Kaushalya will be so sad. She always covers you with so many jewels so that you are saved from evil eyes. And then the third point that Hanumanji is thinking, it is so beautiful. Hanumanji is thinking, you have beauty, and with that beauty, you engage people and you try to get people in your control. The Lord is so beautiful that just by looking at his beauty, he gets control of everybody. So whoever has darshan of the Lord, they become mesmerized and they become his servants, basically, you know. So the Lord tries many ways to get people under his control. All of us are living entities, servants of God, but we have all come into the material world and he has lost us, isn't it? So the Lord tries different ways to get us back under his shelter. One way is that he gives upadesh. He does Gita upadesh. He does so many ways of teaching us through scriptures. And then if scriptures don't work, he sends acharyas. He sends great acharyas to teach us. And many times, after sending these great acharyas also, we don't come under his control. And when the Lord understands that this fellow is a hard nut to crack, when the Lord understands that he is a hard nut to crack, this fellow will never become a theist. He'll never become a devotee so easily. That is when he removes his last missile in his armory. And what is the last missile in his armory? His own beauty. When someone sees the beauty of the Supreme Lord, they automatically accept defeat. So, Hanumanji is telling the Lord, my dear Lord, I have already accepted defeat. Why are you showing me so much beauty? So it is said, when someone who is a normal devotee comes in front of the Lord shows his beauty to that person with decorations and with, you know, beautiful ornaments and all that. But somebody who is a really bad person will never ever become a devotee. When that person comes to the Lord, he removes all his ornaments and then shows that beauty. So now, when a person comes and sees the Lord without any ornaments, that person cannot resist. And he has to become the devotee of the Lord. So Hanumanji is telling the Lord, my dear Lord, I am already a devotee. Why are you showing me your form without ornaments? Are you thinking that my heart is so hard that it will not melt unless you show that form without ornaments? So, like, you know, different people, the hearts are different levels of hardness. There are some people whose hearts are already pretty soft. And for them, if they see the beauty of the Lord with ornaments, they melt, the heart melts. But some people's hearts are so hard, like a stone, the Lord has to show that beauty without any ornaments. And then only that person's heart melts. So Hanumanji is asking the Lord, my dear Lord, am I such a bad devotee that you think that my heart will not melt by seeing you with ornaments, that you have come to me in front of me without ornaments? So like that, Hanumanji is thinking. In fact, one acharya goes one level further. It's an amazing thing how these different acharyas have different moods. When he saw the beauty of the Lord, he lost himself. It seems that he wrote a contract. On paper and offered it to the Lord, saying that, my dear Lord, from today onwards, I am your slave. He actually wrote a contract and offered it to the Lord. So, Bhagawan, the Supreme Lord, is so beautiful that people just surrender to him, looking at his beauty. So, it is said that the Lord has two levels of beauty. One level is when he is trying to conquer soft hearts, and another level of beauty is when he is trying to conquer hard hearts. So it is said that whatever side you see the Lord in, that side of the Lord is beautiful. in the Govardhan Leela, we find that the devotees were standing behind Krishna. They were seeing the back of Krishna. But those who were seeing the back of Krishna were as mesmerized as those people who were seeing the front of Krishna. It is said there are some festivals that are celebrated many Vaishnava temples. And in one of the festivals, like there is a temple known as Melkote. I don't know how many of you all have visited. Melkote, there is a festival where they bring the Lord out. They decorate him very beautifully and they bring the Lord out in a palanquin. And when they bring the Lord out, they put a pillow behind him. Why they put a pillow behind him? Of course, to give him some cushioning, but also to hide his back beauty. He is to hide his back, you know. It is said, the beauty of the Lord's back is more mesmerizing than the beauty of the Lord's front. And therefore, they keep a pillow over there to hide that beauty of the Lord's back. And for a few seconds, they remove that pillow. And when they remove that pillow from behind, and the devotees see the back of the Lord, they start crying, it seems. Because they just go mad looking at the back of the Lord. And that is one of the reasons why the acharyas explain why in Srirangam, there is a temple, Ranganath, his back is towards the north and his face is towards the south. Right? He's facing Vibhishan. But the acharyas have another comment why his back is towards the north and his face is towards the south. The acharyas explain that north is filled with scholars, Sanskrit scholars. And Sanskrit scholars, you know, if you have dealt with Sanskrit scholars, they are very tough, very, very, you know, proud and very, very tough in their heart. And they walk with a certain type of pride, you know, basically. So the Lord, for those people, he is showing his backside. Because if he shows his front to those people, their hearts won't melt so easily. So he's showing the back towards those people so that even such hard-hearted people's heart melts faster. And therefore, the Lord, whichever side you see, you will fall in love with that person, with that side. The frontal beauty of the Lord is beautiful and the backside beauty of the Lord is even more beautiful. So it is said that the Lord is Rakshatattvam and Bhogatattvam. That means you can... the Lord will save you. He is your savior. He is a protector. But he is also someone you can enjoy. He is also someone who will give you unlimited enjoyment, basically. And it is said, the Lord is powerful and so is his holy name. As much power the Lord has, as much capacity the Lord has to attract your heart, that much, if not more, the holy name of the Lord has the power to attract your heart. The holy name of the Lord is so powerful. It is said that when someone takes shelter of the holy names, they become very, very enthusiastic and they become very confident. One acharya says, I have no fear of Yamaraj. So the devotees ask him, still yesterday you had so much fear of Yamaraj, how come today you have no fear of Yamaraj? He says, today I found a company. I found a companion. And the companion is the holy name of the Lord. Because this companion is with me, I have no fear of Yamaraj now. And that is the Rakshatattva of the holy name. So, the holy name of the Lord is not just powerful, but is also sweet again. Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, is like a 24-carat gold. So, 24-carat gold is very, very costly and it is very, very pure. But can you use it? You can't use it. It is only for investment purpose. You can keep it in your bank lockers. Buy it and keep it in a bank locker. You can't use it. If you want to use it, if you want to make jewelry, you need 22 carat or nowadays 16, 18 carat gold. That means in gold they mix some copper. They mix some other elements so that to decrease the purity of that gold, basically. So, a nama is like an ornament. Bhagavan is like gold, 24 karat gold, and nama is like an ornament that is made from that 24 karat gold. So Bhagavan, you can't use him, but the nama is very useful. You can carry him everywhere with you, you can display it, you can use it, you can enjoy it like anything. And the interesting thing is that many people can deny the existence of God, but they cannot deny the existence of the name of God. You know why? Even to say Krishna does not exist, you have to take his name. You say Ram doesn't exist, Krishna doesn't exist. Are you taking his name? Can you say he does not exist? He means who? So that means even an atheist, he may not accept the existence of God, but he cannot deny the existence of the name of God. So that means the name of God is more powerful than God in one sense. There was one particular person who had, there was a fisherman once. He found a diamond, like a very, very costly, precious gem in the belly of a fish. Now this gem, you know, this fisherman, when he saw this precious gem, he had no idea what is the cost, what is the value of that gem. He took that to a jeweler and he showed it to the jeweler. The jeweler saw it. Immediately he knew this diamond is worth millions of rupees. But so the jeweler, he asked him, how much do you want? Now, it's a very tricky question, you know. So the jeweler knew that this guy doesn't know the value of that gem. So the jeweler asked him, how much you want? He said 100 rupees. Because that day's need of his was 100 rupees, basically, you know. So then he said 100 rupees. Jeweler said, fine, I'll give you 110 rupees. Take and go. So the jeweler took it. He polished it nicely. And he made it, you know, all very beautiful colors, all sides, different colors. And then he took it to the king of that land. And he showed that diamond to the king of the land. And the king immediately knew that this is a very costly diamond. And he asked the jeweler, how much you want for this? The jeweler said 2 crore rupees. The king said, take 2.5 crore. He gave him a little more, you know. And this fellow became very happy. The jeweler went away. So much money he got. What do you think the king did with it? You think the king went and gave it to the next king who can give him little more money? No. The king put it on his crown. He gave it to his wife to wear as a necklace. The king enjoyed it, isn't it? So these are different ways in which... So this diamond is like the holy name of the Lord. There are some people who don't know the value of the holy name. For them, they use that holy name for getting some material benediction. It's like 50 rupees, 100 rupees, they are saying. So in exchange for chanting the holy name, they are saying, give me good health. They are saying, give me money, give me whatever, you know. That is one way of dealing with the holy name. Then there are some people who are like this jeweler. They know the value of the holy name. They go one step further. They say, I'll chant the holy name. Please give me entrance into Vaikuntha, into the spiritual world. So they are taking the holy name so that they can get access to the spiritual world. And then there are some people like this king who actually know the value of the holy name. Instead of exchanging it for something, they enjoy it themselves. They don't ask for anything in exchange for it. They enjoy it themselves. So the choice is yours. What do you want to do with the holy name? How you want to experience the holy name? Whatever you do, the holy name will benefit you in some way or the other. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय।